Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on learning from current events right after this. You know, the lessons on courtroom strategy and procedure that you hear on this program are just a small part of our two-week basic courtroom strategy and procedure school. Now, this school includes lessons on what to do and what not to do at the scene of the alleged crime, and what should you say to the police or the investigators, and what you ought not to say to the police. And you'll learn how to conduct yourself and your case at bail setting, arraignment, pleadings, motion hearings, trial, and appeal. And you'll learn how to ask questions, cross-examine adverse witnesses, select a jury, introduce exhibits and evidence, and conduct discovery, do the legal research, and follow the rules of court. Now, there are 21 elements to learn in courtroom strategy and procedure, and rule one is that all of the evidence that your opponent is ever going to use against you is going to be furnished by you. So keep your mouth shut, don't say anything, and then shut up. Now, after rule one's out of the way, we can get to the real business of winning your case. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, it's free of charge, it's the place to start. You can call and order one right now. Courtroom strategy and procedure is also available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And then click on to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. We've been talking about current events this week, and one of the best writers on current events is a fellow named Bob Chapman. He puts out a biweekly, twice a week newsletter called The International Forecaster. Now, I don't want to rank all of these newsletters. There's probably 50 of them out there, and they're all good. You know, Don McIlvaney and North and James Cook and others are all good, and I'd recommend any of them. But I receive here at the law school three or four that we rely on pretty heavily. I can't read 50. I mean, there's only so many hours in the day. And if I could read 50, I think I probably would, because I like the variety of opinion that comes from other people. But for practical reasons, you know, everybody's got a budget, and I can't afford to buy 50, and neither can you. But you can afford to buy one, or two, or maybe three. And the reason for that is you subscribe to USA Today, or you subscribe to Time, or Look, or Newsweek, or U.S. News and World Report, or something like that. If you take that money that you're now spending on the mainstream press and just buy one of these alternative underground press sources, I think you'd get a better balance in your viewpoint concerning what's going on in the world. It's always good, even if you disagree with somebody. I don't mind reading Time Magazine or Newsweek, because it gives me the other side. It tells me what the other guy is thinking. Now, I may personally view his thinking as being screwy, but I need to first of all listen to what the guy is thinking, what he's saying, before I can come to a conclusion. a fool answers before he's heard the whole matter, and I kind of like to get all the facts that I can before I come to a conclusion. Now, the underground press, as we generally call these guys, underground free market press, alternative news, things like that, come out over the internet, and there's a lot of them. And these guys spend a little time, effort, and energy getting the other side of the story. Now, we get the British Petroleum side of the oil spill from the Lair News Hour, from Brian Williams and Katie Couric and Diane Sawyer and so on. And they tell us what's going on down there and show us pictures and keep us entertained. Now, what does that really mean? You know, when they started off with this oil spill, for instance, they told us it was 1,000 barrels a day, then 5,000 barrels a day. And last time I got a number at 60,000 barrels a day. And then, you know, we get reports that you can't get permits to put up barriers to stop the oil, and the local officials are being stymied constantly, and the Dutch offered 50 ships, and we snubbed them, and, you know, and you start putting all of this together, and you start asking questions like, well, what in the hell's going on down here? Is this a black flag operation? Well, some people are beginning to think that it is already, and Chapman's one of them. And so I thought, well, we'd balance things out in our current events report this week. And let's take a look at the International Forecaster from June 19th, 2010. This is the June 19th report. And remember, this report comes out twice a week. That's 104 issues a year. Actually, it's more like 100. He misses a couple of three during the year, you know, like the Christmas holiday and things like that. But 100 of them a year, and it costs, I think, $160 a year. So I'm just going to divide this out. This is $160 divided by 100 issues is $1.60 an issue. Now, I'm going to flip to the last page here. It's page 22, and I'm going to divide $1.60 by 22, and that's about 7 cents a page. And there's information here on every page, and I think that 7 cents a page is just dirt cheap. Just dirt cheap. I don't think that you can buy USA Today, which is just yellow journalism if you get down on the bottom line. I mean, there's some information in there that's worthwhile, I don't deny that, but, you know, generally speaking, you know, that's an illuminist newspaper. And it's a propaganda piece that promotes the New World Order and the Illuminist agenda. So if you want to know the other side of the story, you'll never get it from USA Today. You need USA Today from time to time to keep abreast of what the enemy's doing. But if that's where you're getting your news, deception, remember, is what the Messiah said in Revelation 6 would be your chief or number one death threat problem. You got four horsemen of the apocalypse, remember, and you got number one. Is that white horse? That's deception. I go back to Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Those three chapters extrapolate and explain Revelation 6. Now, with that much in mind, let me give you a little sample here of what Bob Chapman had to say on June 19th. He started off by saying, here's a quote from David Rockefeller in 1991 in Baden-Baden, Germany. Rockefeller said, quote, "We're grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government." Now, many times people will say to me, "Are you one of those conspiracy theorists?" And I say, "Yes, I am." And then they kind of gasp in disbelief and say, "Why?" Well, because it's quotations like this that made me that way. This David Rockefeller here is no lightweight in international geopolitics. And notice that he identified the Washington Post, the New York Times, and Time Magazine. Now, that's just three off the top, but, you know, there's many more. And he says, our plan for world government wouldn't have been possible if these people had reported to you people out there, the little people, as we're being referred to now by the head of BP, the little people wouldn't have been possible had they reported the truth to us. And again, here's where Jesus shines. You know, he comes forward and he says, the first thing you need to be concerned about in Matthew 24 is deception. Many will come in my name, and they shall deceive many. That's the majority. All right, so with that out of the way, let's take a look at U.S. markets. Bob Chapman reports that our usurping non-citizen, ex-CIA, Islamo-fascist, Illuminist, puppet dictator president, a.k.a. the Joker, has done virtually nothing as instructed by our shadow government to stem the flow of oil into the Gulf of Mexico, courtesy of British Petroleum, Illuminist, sabotage of not only the rig that was destroyed, but in effect of the entire U.S. offshore oil industry. Which, by the way, boys and girls, did you know that the entire offshore oil industry has been shut down because of this? They're still pumping oil out of the rigs that are there, but 150,000 workers who were out there drilling oil wells have now been laid off. They can now go draw unemployment like the other 4 or 5 million Americans. Now, I'm not here complaining about BP, and I'm not here complaining about the president or anybody else. I'm a reporter, and I'm reporting to you what Bob Chapman said. Okay, so these aren't my words, and I don't want you to think that I'm smart enough to make this report. I'm just privileged to be able to make this report from somebody that is smart enough to put the facts together and then come to you and say, well, let me tell you the story. So I'm recommending Bob Chapman's newsletter to you so that every week you too can have the information. And I don't do this because I'm saying to my listeners now, you need to vote this guy in or that guy out. I've mentioned this a time or two before. I don't think voting is the solution to our problem, although I'm not opposed to all of you voters out there that want to vote. I'm just saying you've been voting now for 230 years and it hasn't solved your problem yet, so what makes you think it's going to solve your problem tomorrow? I think that there's a solution to our problem, but I don't think voting is a part of it. Now, Chapman does, and he recommends that you vote all of the incumbents out, which for all of you voters, that's a great idea. I mean, you can't go wrong voting all of the incumbents out. I mean, it's all of the people that are in Congress today that have caused your problem, isn't it? So if your problem was caused by the guys that are there, then it would look like to me, voting them out might not be your solution, but it sure as hell can't add anything to your problem. Can it? He goes on to say that daily, on literally a 24/7 basis, we're assaulted by images of oil gushing out of a pipe a mile deep in the ocean, as well as gruesome images of all of the devastated sea, land, and air creatures covered in oil, in order to indelibly print these images into our minds and into the minds of the U.S. public, all with the help of the mainstream media outlets, which are all, of course, owned and controlled by the Illuminati. The objective is to kill offshore drilling in the United States, to control the supply of U.S. domestic oil, to punish the Joker's political enemies, to destroy the economy of the Bible Belt, where resistance to socialism and fascism is the most firm, and to provide another excuse for an oil spike, which will in part be used to explain the upcoming destruction of our economy and of the world economy, as the Illuminati implement their plans to bring forth a one-world corporatist fascist government of feudality that would make even George Orwell queasy. The president's response to the oil spill and that of British Petroleum have been virtually non-existent, despite many doable fixes, and those doable fixes would include the fixes which could not be implemented due to a total and intentional lack of preparation for just such a disaster, which lack of preparation was, of course, allowed by the Illuminist minarets, or marionettes, in our environmental regulatory agencies in charge of offshore drilling who are in bed with big oil. This lack of response should not come as a surprise, as it is obvious that they were told to delay the implementation of any real solutions and to deceive and then obfuscate the truth about the extent of the oil leak and its potential for destruction, as instructed by their handlers in the shadow governments of the world, mainly Rockefeller, Kissinger, the Joker, the Rothschilds, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and the black nobility, and especially the British royal family, which are an excuse for all of the British petroleum executives, all in a coordinated conspiratorial effort. Okay, so Bob Chapman thinks that this is a conspiracy, and that this conspiracy has an agenda. It has an objective, and as he progresses along, he ties in the cap and trade program in Congress. And he said what we needed here was something to get cap and trade back on track and off of top dead center. So we need an emergency. We got to have something that gets people's attention, gets them excited, makes them move in our direction. And no wonder, he says, about 30% of our domestic oil production comes from the Gulf of Mexico. Now, in addition, you might note that we have a multi-billion barrel mega oil field off the coast of Gull Island, Alaska, where an immense underwater oil field far larger than any of the oil fields in Saudi Arabia will now lie dormant for the foreseeable future. This BP disaster is really just another evil, twisted, and deceitful Illuminist machination intended to, among other things, control our oil supply of domestic oil, without which our already floundering economy cannot function. This is how they intend to take us into a so-called peak oil situation. I'm going to underline that word, peak oil. I'm going to come back and make a comment about peak oil here. Forcing oil prices to skyrocket so that people will give up the freedom of their cars for public transportation, and to reverse the population flow by forcing people out of suburbia and into urban centers where they can be more easily controlled. This is a longer-term purpose of the Illuminati, which they will implement after they have impoverished the world with their upcoming economic takedown catastrophe to establish their one-world fascist world government state. They will use so-called peak oil. Here it is again. I'm going to underline it a second time here. Peak oil. And what we would term peak food, that's a good term, I like that one, peak food, as their final blow to bring you to your knees so that you will beg for their one-world police state, or so they think. The concept of peak oil, there it is again, as the outgrowth of oil becoming more difficult and expensive to extract is a total fraud. I'm going to underline that, is a total fraud. There are tens of billions of barrels of cost-effective oil awaiting extraction around the world, much of it within the United States. For instance, Gull Island in Alaska and the Bakken oil field in North Dakota and Montana, to name but a few. But none of these huge oil reserves are being exploited sufficiently, if at all, with the idea being to create the appearance that we have entered into a peak oil situation. The difficulty and the expense of extraction is a deceitful excuse being given to cover up what is really happening to cause so-called oil shortages. All right, so in the first section, he starts off with what he calls U.S. markets, and then he gives us an editorial opinion of what he thinks is going on in the world. And it goes on for several pages here. And in this one, he's taken a subject matter here called the peak oil, along with the oil spill, to spin a story and to explain what it is that the Illuminists have on their agenda. I'm going to go ahead and read it to you, but I wanted to pause here for a second and explain this peak oil, because if you're like I was, you know, for years and years, I bought into the peak oil story just like I bought into 9/11. And then, if you do a little research, you find out that somebody's lying to you. So, in 1982, the National Geographic magazine did a special. It's not a full magazine, but it's a special. And I forgot what month it is. You might have to look this up. Or just call National Geographic and tell them, you want the oil special from 1982? They had a special little book. That's all they had in there was oil. And they went around the world and they took a look at the available oil reserves, and there was about a trillion barrels back in 1982 around the world. And they said, now this oil is running out. It's a finite resource, and we got about a trillion barrels. And now at that time, the world was using about 22 billion barrels a year. Today, the world is using about 28 billion barrels a year. You know, so it's gone up a few billion barrels a year. So if you got a pen and paper out there, write some of these numbers down. I'm going to give you some numbers here, and you can check these out. Now, the idea that the world is running out of oil and that there's a peak oil problem over here is a neat piece of propaganda that's put out by the oil industry to market their product. It's a marketing device. It's a marketing program. Just about like Have a Coke. You know, Coca-Cola has a marketing program, and they follow that, and they sell Coke. Well, the oil industry, they have a marketing program, and it's called Peak Oil. You know, instead of, you know, McDonald's says, you owe it to yourself today, or you owe yourself a treat today, or you deserve a treat today, or something like that. Okay, well, the oil industry, they have Peak Oil. That's all. Now, let me tell you, from 1982, how much oil was in the world. Now, there's more oil than this, but back in 1982, they took a look at Prudhoe Bay, and they went around the Arctic Circle ring. And these are numbers that come from the oil industry. These are the numbers that are printed, you know, but they're never reported in the mainstream news. And, of course, all you ever see is what the mainstream news reports, and they report peak oil. But behind the scenes, there are other publications, you know, like the Oil and Gas Journal, you know, the newsletters and the journals of the oil industry, you know, that tell the oil insiders, you know, the people that are in the mainstream, you know, of the oil industry, you know, what's really going on. Well, up in the Arctic Circle in 1982, there were 8 trillion barrels of oil. The Russians have 4 trillion of it over on their side in Siberia. And then over on our side, over here, we've got about 4 trillion barrels. The Canadians have the lion's share, and then the Americans have the rest. Now, in Alaska, this is on the North Slope. Now, this isn't the rest of Alaska now. This is just on the North Slope of Alaska on the Arctic Ocean, just around the Arctic Ocean, and where you would drill out there in the Arctic Ocean, as opposed to drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. We Americans have 2 trillion there, and the Canadians have 2 trillion. Okay. Now, back in 1982, the Canadians were not drilling. They were not exploiting. Not drilling is not the right word, but they weren't exploiting their tar sands. And in 1982, the Canadians had proven reserves of 1 trillion barrels of oil in Alberta in their tar sands. Today, now that they've been exploiting that, and they're working on those tar sands, they have now gone out and looked for more, and now they have 4 trillion barrels. And they're still looking every day. And by the time they get through looking and cataloging all of their tar sands up there, I wouldn't be surprised but what they've got 2, 3, 4 times that much. Now here's the number for you to keep in mind. Put down 1 trillion. Now, don't try to write it out because it's a lot of zeros. Just put down T-R-I-L-L-I-O-N, 1 trillion. 1 trillion barrels of oil is enough oil to run everybody in the world for 33 years. Now, I'm 70 years old, boys and girls, and in my lifetime, there has always been 1 trillion barrels of oil for exploitation. The oil industry has always told us through the mainstream press, and this goes back to the 1920s, that the world has about 1 trillion barrels of oil. And when we use that up, it's gone forever, and that's it. And they're not lying to you. And when Madison Avenue puts an advertising campaign together, they tell you the truth. Well, how can it be that a trillion barrels, then, is the world's supply total, and they're not lying to us? Well, because that's all the proven reserves that there are. See? The rest of them aren't proven. They're estimated reserves. So a proven reserve, that's where you bore a hole in the ground, and you get oil coming out. And then you test the pressure of it, and then you drill oil wells all over out here, and then you can make a size of the oil field. You got some dry wells. Well, that's outside the oil patch. And then you drill some on the little closer in. Well, that's in the oil patch. And then you take the pressure, and you take the volume of oil coming out, and then you measure that over a period of time. And then you watch the oil pressure, and that oil pressure is going down. You see, every day as the oil is being forced out of the ground under pressure, the pressure goes down. For instance, up in Prudhoe Bay, up in the north slope of Alaska, when they drilled the first well back in 1968, it had 1,600 pounds of pressure. And they didn't know how big the oil field was, so they went out and drilled some more oil wells, and pretty soon they said, hey, this is a pretty significant find. You know, if you drill a well here, and then you go out 5 miles, and you drill another one, you go out another 5 miles, pretty soon you get an oil patch here that's maybe, you know, 30 miles by 60 miles, and it's coming out at 1,600 pounds of pressure. Now, they go back in time, and they say, okay, we found an oil pool like this once before. And how long did that oil pool pump? And so they factor that in. And then how fast is the oil pressure going down? Then they factor that in. And then how much oil can we get out of one of these oil pools, you know, before the pressure goes down? And then they factor that in. And then how much oil do we get out when we start putting pumping jacks on it and pump it out? And they factor that in. And they can tell you what their proven reserves are. Okay, now, the world has about a trillion barrels. And it's been that way. They don't much go over a trillion. But they keep it right up there at a trillion. Now, in 1982, there was a trillion barrels of oil available. That's what they told us. And the latest numbers that I saw, worldwide, there's about a trillion barrels available. Now, we've been pumping since 1980. Now, count it up. You know, 1980 to 1990, and then the year 2000, and then the year 2010. Got that? Okay, that's 30 years. Now, at the time, we were using 22, so a trillion is 1,000. So let's put 1,000 billion down there. And let's divide that by 22. And that's a 45-year supply. So in 1980, we had a 45-year supply at 22 billion barrels a year. Now we still have the same trillion barrels available, proven reserves, but now it's down to 33 years because now we're using 28 billion barrels a year. See where we're going with this, boys and girls? All right, now listen. In 1980, we weren't drilling any deep wells out in the Gulf of Mexico. Today, we have 400 of those, just like the one that blew out. And those 400 wells now deliver 90% of the Gulf oil. 90%. Now, that's significant because those deep oil pools out there that are under immense pressure don't cost anything to produce. Let me show you what happens here. They went over to Saudi Arabia in 1938 and started digging holes in the ground. They found out they had oil over there under pressure. When you dig oil wells here in the United States, they're not under pressure, and you have to put pumping jacks on them and pump the oil out. Well, those pumping jacks will pump about 700 barrels a day. Now, a barrel of oil is worth $70. So you take $70 times 700 barrels a day, and that's $49,000 a day. Now, that's pretty good. It costs you about $1 to $5 million to dig an oil well in Texas. You know, it depends on how deep you got to go and what you find and average out the dry holes and so on. And it's about, you know, let's call it $5 million. Well, now take $5 million. Now that's $49,000 a day. And let's take $5 million and just stuck that into our computer here. And we'll divide that by 49,000. Let's see, it would take 102 days to pay for that well. 102 days. Write that down. It's important. Now, the oil industry, you know those boys, they sit there and they drill wells all over, and they got oil patches here and there and everywhere. And so they say, okay, well, here in the United States, we got oil, and there's lots of it. Now, for instance, up in North Dakota, they've got an oil patch up there. They're estimating at about 500 billion barrels. They haven't exploited it yet, so we don't know how much is there, but they're guesstimating about 500 billion. Now, 500 billion barrels would be enough to run the entire world. Let's just take 500 divided by 28. It'd run the whole world for 17 years. The United States uses 6 billion, so take 500 divided by 6. It would run the whole United States for 83 years. So here we Americans have an oil pool up here in North Dakota that's got an 83-year supply in it. But you see, you got to pump it out of the ground. And it takes 17% of the oil that you're pumping out of the ground to pump the oil out of the ground. Isn't that special? So the oil here in the United States has some costs. It's what we call cost of goods sold in the business world. Now, over in Saudi Arabia, when they discovered that oil over there, they stuck a hole in the ground, and it cost them about $1 to $5 million. Just like it does in Texas. But the oil over there is under pressure, 1,600 pounds to be exact, 1,600 pounds pressure. So when you drill a well over there, you don't have to pump it out. It doesn't cost you 17% to put a pumping jack over here and pump that oil out. It comes out under pressure. In Saudi Arabia, they don't have pump jacks over there. They have shut-off valves. In Iraq, they don't have pumping jacks like you see in Wyoming and Montana and Texas and California. They turn on valves. It comes out under pressure. Just like Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. They don't have pumping jacks up there. They just turn on the valve. Can you understand that? So over in Saudi Arabia, when you drill a well for the same amount of money, $1 to $5 million, and you pump the oil out, or you open the valve and you take the oil out, it costs $1.60 a barrel. $1.60 a barrel. They have to have guys on the payroll that come by every once in a while, you know, and grease the valve that they open and close. And they've got a pipeline, you know, that goes over to the refinery. And there's, you know, guys are driving around in new pickups and smoking cigarettes and pinching the girls on the butt over at the water cooler. And, you know, there's some administrative costs, but it's $1.60. Now, if you take $1.60 a barrel in Saudi Arabia and divide that by 42 gallons in a barrel, it costs 3.8 cents. It's less than a nickel a gallon to take that oil out of the ground. Less than a nickel. It's 3.8 cents. But here in the United States, when you drill that oil well, it takes 17% of that $49,000 a day. So let's take $49,000 a day divided by or multiplied times. Let's multiply that. That's $49,000 a day times 0.... I'm getting the wrong keys here, kids. Just be patient with me. I'm an old man. 49,000 times 0.17. It costs them $8,330 a day. Divided by 42 would be $1.98 a day. Or wait a minute, $1.98 a gallon today. $1.98. Is that right? No, wait a minute. Is that 19.8? See, I don't know where to put this. Let me stand by and let me do this one again. If I had $49,000 a day coming out of the ground and I wanted to take 17% of that as cost of pumping it out times 0.17, it cost me $8,330. I got to know how many gallons I'm pumping out of this hole. And remember, we started off with that number, and that was 700 gallons a day, wasn't it? 700. Let's go with 8,330, and we're getting 700 gallons a day. 700 gallons a day into 8,330 divided by 7,300. That's $1.14 a gallon. So it doesn't take long to figure out here, kids, that it's cheaper to drill these oil wells in Saudi Arabia and Iraq and other places around the world than it is in Texas. Unless we could hit these mega oil pools. Now, the other day I did the numbers for you on this oil well. They're getting 60,000 barrels a day out of this blowout well. 60,000 barrels a day. That well, over its lifetime, which they estimate at 30 years, and this comes from the Oil and Gas Journal, which was reported in National Geographic magazine in 1982, the 30-year lifespan on this oil well. This is where they're at over in Saudi Arabia. They poke a hole in the ground, costs them $1 million to $5 million, and they get a hole under 1,600 pounds pressure, costs them 3 cents a gallon to pump this stuff out of the ground, and it goes... And it goes on for 30 years. I mean, think about that. Can you see why we don't want any domestic oil production in the United States? So the oil companies, they're not dumb, you know. And as businessmen, they want to drill into those formations that have great payoffs. And those deep water wells out there in the Gulf of Mexico have great payoffs. That well out there is worth about, I figured the other day for you, it was worth $38 billion. It costs, now those wells cost about $100 million to $300 million to drill. They're much more expensive. But the payoff on them is so much greater. And so as a result of that, we have peak oil. In spite of the fact that the world has trillions and trillions and trillions of barrels, those, every time you get a trillion barrels, that's 33 years supply. You got 8 trillion up around the Arctic Circle. You got 4 trillion in Alberta. And they've got another 2 or 3 trillion in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, the Caspian Sea. We haven't touched the Russians yet. And the Russians have about 8 trillion barrels of oil in their Arctic, and not near Arctic, but in the Caspian Sea, and in other places in Russia. Not to mention all the natural gas that they've got. So when you're told that we're approaching peak oil and that we're about to run out, the United States of America has another big ace up our sleeve. It's called the oil shale. In this country, we don't call it tar sands; we call it oil shale. Out in the western United States, it's mainly in Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah. 3.6 trillion, almost as much as you Canadians, 3.6 trillion. That's enough to run the United States, just by ourselves, for 600 years at $30 a barrel, which is what the Canadians are paying to get their barrel extracted from the tar sands, $30 a barrel, and the oil is now selling for $70 a barrel. Now, when this oil crisis hit back in the early 70s, you know, when we hit peak oil in 1972, they jacked the price of oil up from $2.75 a barrel to about $8 a barrel, and it's been going up from there since. The truth of the matter is, there's more proven oil reserves in the world today than there was in 1972. There's at least a 2,000-year supply of oil in the world today, worldwide, at today's use of 28 billion barrels. A 2,000-year supply. Now, I just wanted to point that out to you, that peak oil over here, boys and girls, is it's a good sales strategy, and I don't deny that, but it's not true. Now, if you want to check these numbers out, why don't you run back over this program one more time, get a copy of the 1982 oil special that National Geographic put out, and then go do a Google search and take a look at some of these oil reserves that have been discovered. And I didn't tell you about the oil pool that they found off of Mexico, 35 by 60 miles long, and they got another one off Brazil that they just discovered in the last few years. That's another two big oil pools. Now, that adds to the overall supply. So when we go into the millennium and Jesus comes back, there isn't going to be any shortage of oil. Hang on, I got to give you your mid-course reminder here. that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing current events, learning from current events. And we're reviewing the international forecaster for the week of, this is the Saturday, June 19th, 2010 edition. So let me give you a name and address here where you can sign up. I'd be remiss if I didn't do that. And Bob does not pay me now, in case you were wondering, you know, is this a paid advertisement? Nope, it isn't. But I promote this guy because he's got his head on straight, and because we get the straight skinny. We get information here in the underground press that we can't get from Brian Williams. If you want to get online with them, it's the www.internationalforecaster.com. Is that right? I'm reading here. Just hang on a second. I'm pretty sure that that's the website. And now for more information here, he says info@intforecaster.com. Check out our website, www. Here it is. intforecaster.com. They've changed that. I thought it used to be the internationalforecaster.com. It just says intforecaster.com. All right, so it's intforecaster.com. And if you want to write an email, then go to bob@intforecaster.com. Price is $160 a year. $160 a year. And there's 100 issues. And 22 pages isn't always it. Sometimes it's 40 pages long. It's a pretty comprehensive document. And it's always 20 pages or more. This is a light issue, 22 pages. It's usually 30, 35, sometimes as many as 40 pages twice a week. It's a lot of material. And it's organized in such a way that if you don't want to read the commodities section, it's got various sections to it, or the health section or something like that, you can just skip it. But here's the first section, starts off U.S. markets. And you can take a look at that. Now, it does give you numbers like the price of gold and the price of wheat and corn, beans, whole, you know, and pork bellies and so on. But the editorial comment and the news that comes out, I think, is well worth the money. That's why I basically like to subscribe to his, because I like his views on politics, legislation that's pending, and who's doing what to who and where and when, how. He's got pretty good contacts with the intelligence people. Pretty good contacts with the Federal Reserve and people that work there. Pretty good contacts with banking and banking institutions. And he can report. He's an old-timey stockbroker, and he's pretty savvy when it comes to the machinations of the criminal conspirators on Wall Street, like J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Goldman Sachs, and so on. He can kind of tell you what's going on behind the scenes and where the bodies are buried. All right, he goes on to say that the real cause of these shortages, now talking about oil now, is the ongoing suppression of the oil extraction from many known mega sources, which I just took the time to go through and point out to you, because I took the time. I've made these reports before, and so I've looked up, well, where is this oil located, and how much of it's there? So I said there's a 2,000-year supply, and there's a 1,000-year supply all day long. 2,000 years is probably more accurate. Mega sources of cost-effective foreign and domestic oil by withholding investment into exploiting these mega fields and by creating environmental disasters to steer the people away from either promoting the exploitation of these mega fields, for example, this BP disaster, or by steering them away from promoting cleaner and more cost-effective sources of energy, such as the Three Mile Island disaster, yet another illuminous sabotage special. And you might note that the Three Mile Island disaster was said to be caused by a design flaw. Yet this project had twin reactors with identical designs, and the remaining reactor has operated flawlessly for more than 30 years. We also have to wonder if Chernobyl was not a refilled or refined illuminist prescription for suppression of nuclear energy. And you might also note that France operates almost exclusively on nuclear power. I'm going to underline nuclear power here. Let me comment on that. And they know what to do with their waste, and it's called reprocessing. I'm going to underline that one. So the next time you hear one of your Congress critters wailing and complaining about the economic environmental cost of creating some nonsensical nuclear waste storage facility in a mountain somewhere, you should laugh in his or her face. And we also note that all of the environmental Nazis are funded by Big Oil and the Illuminist tax-exempt foundations. They protest whatever they are told to protest by the Illuminati, such as nuclear power, or offshore drilling, or exploitation of natural resources, no matter how reasonable the terms. Anything to control the supply of resources, with the ultimate objective being to enslave the public to Illuminist interests. Let me pause here for a moment and mention this Three Mile Island, because I'm beginning to think that it was another black flag operation, and that Chernobyl was probably another black flag operation. And the reason for that is that right after Chernobyl and Three Mile Island, nuclear power has been shut down, especially in this country, but not in all. The Japanese have gone to nuclear power because they don't have any oil. And they're not about to buy it. So they went with nuclear power, and I think they get 60 to 80% of their nuclear power out of nuclear power plants. That's electric power comes from nuclear power plants. And the French get nearly 100%. And notice this. Here's little France over here, a country about the size of Texas. They get all their nuclear, they get all of their electric power from nuclear power plants, and they don't have a Yucca Mountain to store the waste in. And notice what Chapman says, what do? They reprocess it and use it over again and over and over and over and over again. Now, maybe you've never heard of reprocessing. You know, what would you and I know? We're just a couple of plumbers. But you can rest assured that the people in Congress know. If they don't know, then they're incompetent and ought to be voted out on those grounds. And if they do know, then they're dishonest and they're treasonous, and they ought to be voted out on those grounds. Every member of Congress knows, or should know, or should have known, that the French and the Japanese are getting most of their electric power from nuclear power plants, and they're not having any problems at all. Nobody's rioting in the streets. They've got cheap, effective nuclear electric power. They're not killing their forests with acid rain. Now, here in the United States, we have coal-fired power plants. And the people who own those coal-fired power plants and the people who own those coal mines do not want nuclear power. I mean, let's be intelligent people. You've got a great big coal mine out here in Wyoming, and you're making millions of dollars a year off of it. And some guy comes along and says, hey, why don't we eliminate coal-fired power plants and let's put in nuclear-fired power plants and eliminate the use of coal? Now, what would you think? You know, business is business, and BS is BS. So let's wake up and smell the coffee. The people who've got the coal-fired power plants and the people that are supplying the coal, and that produces more than 50% of our power here in this country, they want to keep it that way. And in fact, they'd like to increase it if possible. And I don't blame them. It's just that the coal-fired power plants produce a lot of pollution, and we would like to get rid of the pollution. And they don't want to get rid of the pollution because to do so costs a lot of money, you know, putting scrubbers on these stacks and so on. And so they want to pass that cost on to us by charging us more money for the electric power. Now, you can produce nuclear power with no pollution, and it costs about 3 cents a kilowatt hour, or you can produce coal-fired power, and it costs you about 6 cents per kilowatt hour. And that's because we have to pay for the pollution control. We got to pay for the environmental destruction. The power companies and the coal companies don't pay for these cleanups, like this ash cleanup that you just saw recently in Tennessee. And BP is not going to pay for the cleanup in the Gulf. I mean, sit back, relax, and rest assured BP is not going to pay that. Now, remember, they offered to put up $20 billion. They put up $5 billion cash this year. It's $5 billion a year. They will bankrupt out of the balance of it, or they will be, they'll go through a Chapter 7 and part the thing out and sell it to Shell Oil. The oil industry is not going to clean up the Gulf, and they ain't going to pay for it. They're going to pay a little pittance, just like the Exxon people paid $700 million for that Exxon Valdez oil spill. They were billed $5.8 billion, I believe it was, and they ended up paying less than $1 billion. And it's going to work better than that, percentage-wise, much better than that in the Gulf. So you American taxpayers, you know, get ready. Get the Vaseline out, boys and girls, because here it comes. Now, the guy that's going to report this to you and give you the straight skinny is Bob Chapman. That's why I suggest that you get his newsletter, because that newsletter twice a week is going to fill you in on these kinds of details that you're not going to get from the Lehrer News Hour and PBS and from Brian Williams and Katie. God love them, you know, nice people, and I don't deny that. But Katie Couric does not get paid $10 million a year to tell you that these oil shortages are staged. And she's not going to tell you that. Now, if you want to get the numbers, a lot of times people, when I make these kinds of outrageous claims and statements and reports, you know, they write me letters. Remember, boys and girls, that a fool answers before he's heard the whole matter. A fool answers. That's a proverb, comes from the Bible. A fool answers before he's heard the whole matter. So I said, look, why don't you check the numbers out that I'm giving you? I mean, I'm not smart enough to figure this out myself. You can see that by trying to figure out what the cost per gallon is here on my calculator. I need to do those before the program begins so I get my numbers straight here before I start, because if I start doing it over here, sometimes I poke the wrong buttons. So I'm not claiming to be the smartest guy here. I'm just saying the numbers have already been crunched by the people that are in the business. But they don't report those numbers to you because that's not part of the marketing plan. So there's real numbers out there that we can get. We can get them off the internet. We can get them from National Geographic magazine. We can get them from the Oil and Gas Journal. You can get them from various other sources on the internet. There are companies that deal in this kind of thing. You know, subject matter, you know, do a Google search on oil and start chasing that out. And you're going to be amazed at the numbers that you get. For instance, this big oil field that's up in North Dakota, they discovered that in 1951. Well, in 1951, boys and girls, I was 12 years old. So here's an 83-year supply of oil at today's consumption rates in North Dakota. It's been there since 1951, and it's been well known. It's got a name. It's called the Baca, B-A-A-K-A, something or other, oil field, that they know has got 500 billion barrels. That's a half a trillion barrels. I didn't even hardly count that one, because it's the trillion barrels, you know, that really add up. This is just a half a trillion barrels, but it's enough to run this country for 83 years. So even if you wanted to believe in peak oil, which I think is, you know, maybe there is, 1,000 or 2,000 years from now, we're going to run out and burn up our last barrel of oil. That could happen, I guess. But, you know, for practical purposes here, we're only talking about another 1,000 years before we come to the Great White Throne Judgment. You know, so, you know, assuming that the Messiah is coming back in the next 100 years, and then add another 1,100 years to that, that's 1,200 years. Hell, we got plenty of oil for 1,200 years at today's consumption rate. And then they keep seeming to find more. I pointed that out to you, that from 1980 to 2010, we still have a trillion barrels in reserve. That's like having an inventory. The oil industry nationwide, worldwide, has a 33-year supply of product on their shelf right now, today, a 33-year supply. Now, that's a big inventory. If you think about business, a business that has an inventory of a month or 2 months or 6 months has a humongous inventory. The oil industry has a 33-year inventory and have had as long as I've been alive, 70 years. That's a big inventory. All right, I'm about out of time, so I'm going to give you a final reminder here that you are listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review, or sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.